184 of your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is gaming for the elderly. And today, September 4th, 2012, I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, kind of everywhere. And, well, it's a special day today. Richard Primrose in the house, front and center.
Yeah, I am indeed a very special child.
You're special for many reasons, but birthday.
Yeah, birthday today. Thank you, everybody who's sent me well wishes. My mum and my wife. And Greg. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I. It is a time for mourning, actually, because didn't you crest the, was it 40?
Yeah, my next milestone is 60. Because 50.
Well, I would think 50 is a kind of milestone.
Don't count, man. Skip past that. Anyway.
Okay.
Old farts in the house. Let's do this.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, to make you feel a little, just a little bit worse about turning 40, Rich, Mike is in the house. He also had a birthday yesterday. Mike Chin.
Hello. Hello, hello, front hello. Center. Yes. I wasn't born yesterday, Chris. Oh, wait. Yes, I was. Fantastic.
Mike, did you have a good birthday as well?
It was good. Went for a meal, recorded a podcast, and then I'm doing another one.
Whatever birthday needs.
Yeah.
And Mike, you turn the ripe age of 27?
That's correct, 27.
Which, technically now, I'm not even sure we should be having you on the show.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that was kind of like a, kind of like a thing, really, throughout right, the whole, right. You know, show. We shouldn't have me at all, really.
But then again... In video game years, if you ask the younger video gamers, you are old dude now.
Yeah, I am.
You're over 25. Yeah. You're officially old, you know, compared to anybody who's like 16 and younger.
Yeah.
They just look at you like you're about to die.
You're old. You're old.
Yeah.
Well, you play Call of Duty for, you're old.
Okay. Also with us this show, Mr. Christopher Matthew, not celebrating a birthday today.
No birthday for me. Just happy to be here.
Well, that's good. That is good. Yeah, we're happy to have you here.
Can't you tell it in my voice? I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm ecstatic.
It's kind of Stephen Wright-ish.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Stephen Wright, comedian?
Nope.
Look him up. You'll appreciate him.
He talks very... He was the DJ in Reservoir Dogs, wasn't he?
Sure.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Sure. He's very monotone.
Yep.
Okay.
Dry sense of humor. Funny guy.
Okay.
He sounds a lot like Chris, actually.
Pretty much. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about what we've been playing.
What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so gaming. Chris, I think you're the easiest one to get out of the way at this point in time. You've been busy with other things not gaming related.
Well, I was gonna like play some video games tonight, but then I'm on the show. So, yeah.
Sorry. We are cutting into your video game time, so I guess we just got to get through this podcast so you can play some games.
Yeah, then maybe I can actually participate in the show.
Yes. Well, next time you see us playing, then again, we're not on Steam, you know, we're not these
guys. Yeah, you know, are still on your Xbox 360s. Those are so yesterday.
Yeah. I've seen more and more people moving over to PCs, man, especially across the Twitterverse with people who are from the Gate community.
Well, you know, there is something to be said. You know, Steam is doing a good job of making it really easy to jump into. They have that very, I'll call it an Xbox Live-like experience.
Oh, snap.
It's probably an insult, but they do. They really have modeled that, you know, that whole Steam system seems like it is just much more friendly UI than ever before. So, I get it.
The console cycle is pretty old at this point, so. Yeah.
True.
Why should they? Why should they play on console?
That and PCs keep getting cheaper and cheaper.
Also true. We are a factual podcast right now. All right, Mike, what have you been playing?
So I've been playing some Halo Wars, Greg.
Yes, you have.
Speaking of new.
Yeah, I like to keep up with the current, you see. Yeah, I've been playing Halo Wars, still loving it. Me and Greg was going to play today in a threesome. But, you know, Greg had work to do. But never mind. And what else have I been playing? Yes, I've been playing Inversion.
How are you liking Inversion?
I am not. I am not liking.
Is it the story? Is it the graphics? I mean, give us a little lowdown.
It's not that it's a bad game. It's a very average game. And it's so badly trying to rip off Gears of War that it's amazing that they haven't got sued. Thanks for that, Rich.
Yes, Rich, yeah, please, you know, continue to breathe in deeply into the microphone. It is always good for the podcast listeners to hear you clearing out your nostrils.
I didn't do anything.
You've breathed. Yeah, so Inversion is basically Gears of War, a third-person action game. These kind of weird mutant human things come from nowhere, attack what appears to be normal Earth, mess shit up. Their guns have bayonets underneath them.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. It's co-op. And I said this, the main character looks like he's wearing a wig, and I can't get over it. It just looks like a man wearing a wig all the way through the game. You have no idea what's going on, and for what Gears, I know Gears, you don't play Gears with the intent of getting a good story, but at least you have some kind of awareness of what's going on.
Right.
Really, with this, like, they don't explain who the enemy is. And I suppose in Gears of War, there was that bit of mystery who the enemy was, but it was just so well presented in Gears, and there's a lot of tactile feedback and great sound and game design and clever levels. With this, they're very generic levels, very generic characters. You don't get anything. I mean, at least in Gears, again, you got Marcus Fenix, who people like, Cole, who everyone likes. Some people like Dom, Baird, you know, he's cheeky.
What's the name of your main character in Inversion?
Exactly. I have no idea. I can find out for you, but I'm guessing.
It's not really important. That was the point of my question, actually.
It's really is just bland.
How's the gameplay? I mean, is it decent?
Yeah, this is why it's average, because it's a third-person shooter, co-op. And it does all the gameplay things fine, but it's all just fine. It's all good enough, you know. It's never Gears Epic Games. I always feel like let's do a bit more, let's push it a bit more. Whereas this is just like, this is enough. This will do. This is kind of what we have to get up to compete. Doesn't feel like there's a lot of love in the game design, and I don't know. Is it the name of the guy? He's called Davis Russell. He's a hot-headed 28-year-old cop.
So I have a question, and this is going back to the whole, you know, the gameplay mechanics and the story. If I remember correctly, and I want to say it was kind of one of those, you know, opening, you know, quick looks of the beginning of the game, and I believe you had the cops like driving down the street in their car. And suddenly the aliens attacked, and it's like they pulled out alien weapons out of their trunk.
Oh.
Or machine guns out of their trunk.
I haven't seen that. They're not aliens. They're human. But they talk in broken English. So they go, "Human attacked, we will. Here I can." Like this. And they're just big enemies. So why have they got so many numbers that they can attack the whole Earth? B, why are they speaking in broken English now? C, where the fuck did they come from? D, why are they scantily clad and wearing just leather and no proper clothes? Because a lot of them are just like bare chested.
Right. And yet they have this technology and these advanced weapons, if I'm not mistaken.
They have, well, I suppose I should talk about the hook of the whole game. In Inversion is... Inversion, you can mess with gravity. So they have this gravity lift gun attached to people's shoulders where you can shift gravity. And that's where the game gets slightly interesting, because at some moments, like, you'll be on the wall. But to you, I mean, it's just normal third-person shooting, but the game will shift and you can go into these, like, vortexes or whatever, and you'll have to jump across and you can go straight up above, and then the ceiling will become the floor. They're not, like, random. They're certain places, so it's quite linear. So you can't just like, okay. shoot some and turn, and everything turns, which would be quite cool. It's like you walk into this like portal, and then it'll shoot you up across the way, and then all of a sudden that wall that you were looking at is now the floor. So, yeah, it's not random, but it's kind of cool. It's a little bit different, but it's not enough. It's not enough to keep you coming back.
Interesting. Okay.
Nothing. If you want a co-op game like Gears, if you're itching for one. And you don't like Borderlands, then play this. But really, there's nothing else. There's nothing else there. Like, it's just dumb. And I know Gears is slightly dumb. You could argue that Gears is dumb, but it's so much fun.
Right.
But this is very average. Just an average third-person shooter.
Yeah, well, I guess you could say it's a clear case of where a good developer executes really well, and you have an average developer executing averagely.
Yep.
If that's even proper English.
Yep.
It's not.
The way the weapons pop up on the screen when you can pick them up, or an icon, when it looks exactly like Gears of War. They've gone, let's do a Gears of War game, but with this gravity stuff. So, and, you know, there's some polish there. I'm not saying it's completely buggy or anything. And the graphics are okay. You know, there are some good things about it. But ultimately, like,
it could have been a lot more.
I don't know if it could be. I think it's just, there's no love there. There's nothing there. It's just not made. It sounds like a lot of business people made this. You know, like, that Gears of War game sells. Let's make something like that.
Right, right.
Who
was the publisher on this game? Do you know?
The publisher is Namco Bandai.
Okay.
And the developer is Saber Interactive. And they worked on Halo.
Right, Saber actually has done some good stuff. So
they did well. They did Halo Combat, you know, the anniversary stuff. So they did a bit of that, bit of the campaign for that. They did Battle Los Angeles. Remember that? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They did Time Shift. Remember that? Wow. Before that, they did a game called Will Rock on the PC. But Time Shift and Battle LA is not a good track record, to be honest.
Hey, Time Shift could have been fantastic.
Yeah, there's some good ideas in there.
Could have been. Yeah, it seems like they're a company with good ideas and poor execution.
Yep.
All right, Rich, let's move over to you. Darksiders Metro 2033. I mean, which of these is standing out for you?
It's one surprise of what I've been playing. I'm supposed to say that.
Sorry, my friend. Sorry.
I got a bargain, basically. I was listening to all the podcasts talk about Darksiders 2. Well, I thought, I want to see what the first one's like. And the guy at work was raving about it when it was first out. So I thought, he's got the same sort of taste in games as me, so I should like it. So I picked up it's a THQ double pack, Game of the Year double pack.
Oh.
And you get Metro 2033 and Darksiders, and I got them both for £16. So, that was a bargain. So I played Darksiders first, and I've not, I know that everybody says it's like Zelda, blah, blah, blah. I've never played Zelda.
Is this one or two?
I'm playing the first one. I've not played Zelda, so I can't make any sort of comparisons to that. So, nearest I'd equate it to is combat that's as satisfactory as Dark Souls, but more arcadey, and puzzle sections that reminded me a lot of Tomb Raider. So, it's really good. I like it. It's got an excellent FMV sequence at the beginning that sets it all up. So the idea behind it all is that hell and heaven have started waging war on Earth, and the four horsemen of the apocalypse are ruled by an overlord type bloke that they deal out the justice to both sides, so they're not allowed to get out of control. So he believes that they've broken the seven seals, and he therefore takes it upon himself to try and stop heaven and hell from destroying mankind. But then he turns out that they've not broken the seventh seal, so then he gets imprisoned, and then he has to come back 100 or so years later after basically heaven and hell have taken over Earth, and he's got to try and remedy the situation. And yeah, it's really quite a good story. Gameplay's very satisfactory because it's always mixing it up. You're not doing the same thing all the time. It's combat. It's got a nice system of basically picking up souls and using them as currency to buy upgrades, so you can buy different moves. You can also buy additional weapons. You get given additional weapons. It's always feeding new stuff in as far as the gameplay is concerned to do with the combat, which is really good. It's got various challenge type arenas that the story brings you into, which are quite satisfying as well. You're never doing the same thing, so it's always mixing it up, and I'm really enjoying it. It's good. I've probably done about 5 hours of it. I know it's. Okay. I've heard it's quite a long game. I think it's over. It's well over 10 hours. So yeah, it's very good.
I think it's about 20 hours. I think.
Is it about 20 hours? Yeah. I can see it being long because you've got to. It gives you a plot line that you've got to follow.
Remember,
and I can see.
I don't remember many things about it, but I remember the first couple of hours was like God of War, like just combat heavy, very combat heavy.
Yeah.
And it slowly changed pace. I remember there's a Scottish guy in there and a horse or some shit. It was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like the character War from Darksiders a little bit more than Death in Darksiders 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish they kind of had stuck with War and done Darksiders 2.
No, I like the idea of them like...
Yeah, I do. I like that idea of going through all four of them in different games. That'd be good.
Pestilence, yeah. What would they do for him?
Is it going to be a him?
I don't know. That's the question.
Well, you in Darksiders 2, you see the other two horsemen in the background, and one is clearly a female, but they're shadowed, so you don't see any actual features. So I know at some point we will see a female.
I hope they get to four. You know what I mean? Like, I hope they do get four and get...
Yeah, I'm sure THQ hopes the same thing.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, they're hanging on this one.
Well, let's talk about the other game, Rich. Metro 2033.
Yeah, I just briefly went back into that, because when I first got this, I got it on a rental.
Okay.
And it wasn't long after I'd started the rental system, so I was all cocksure and wanting new games all the time, so I basically played it for about a week and a half, and then I sent it back. But I was enjoying my time with it, so I slotted it back in. And obviously it picked up my previous save, so I continued. And then I remembered it was an irritating battle that I couldn't get past. I still can't get past
it. What game is this again? What's this?
Metro 2033.
Oh, right.
I'm at the bit with the train just before you pick, because I have got a bit further, but I think my save wound me back. You know where you first get the pump-up gun, the one that you pump up, and it's like a sniper rifle?
I haven't played it.
Well, some of the guns in it, because it's all like based on post-war, and everybody's just like trying to get by on dodgy bullets and using them as currency and stuff. Well, you get some weapons and stuff as well that probably equate them to like rivet guns in Bioshock. You know, ones that have been cobbled together just to do the job. And you get a gun that basically it's like a sniper rifle, but you have to pump it up before you can fire a shot.
Like an air gun.
Sort of like an air gun. You pump it up, right, and then you can't fire a shot until you've done that. So I'm at that bit. I'm in a tunnel, and it's bloody annoying. But yeah, I'll get past it, because I like the story. I want to carry on and finish that.
All right, excellent. Anything else, Rich?
I've been playing on the DS, 3DS.
Okay.
The Rayman game.
Heard good things about that.
It is. It's very good. It's excellent. Yeah.
Okay.
3D works well in it as well. So yeah, great platforming. Good music as well. Some strange reason. Nice bongo. Okay. Nice bongo drums.
Bongo drums are always good.
Yep.
We might have to have bongo drums in this show someday.
Yeah, maybe you will.
There you go. All right. For me, Halo Wars, of course, we just talked about that with Mike. Sleeping Dogs, I finished it over the weekend. Great game. Highly recommend. I really enjoyed the storyline in this game. It wasn't like it was doing anything particularly new, but I think just in the GTA kind of setting, in the open world kind of crime scene setting, it was refreshing to be playing, I know I've said this before, but it was really refreshing to be playing a cop. Somebody, yeah. Even though he struggles with...
Did you play
with,
L.A.
You know, Noir? Yeah, let's not go there. It's refreshing to play as somebody that, you know, from the get-go is coming across as a good guy. He struggles with, you know, he has some gray areas and some, you know, moral ambiguity in terms of what he's doing with the Sun Yi, I believe is what they call themselves, which is basically the Triad Gang. And this game is brutal at times, and some of the cutscenes, especially towards the latter part of the game, holy smokes, you cringe when you hear some of the stuff. Mm. Really a good experience. I stayed up, I think, until 1:30 in the morning playing it and finishing it out, and was just felt really satisfied when I finished it up. So, highly recommend it. And it does the extended play. So just like in other GTA games, you finish it up, and your character is still there in his apartment with all his, you know, his level ups and stuff, and you can go out and finish all your missions, and you know, complete achievements, that kind of thing. So, again, not doing anything revolutionary, but just doing it really well.
Doing it right. And doing it right, Greg.
Yeah. Doing it right. Yes. There you go. And then the other game, Madden 13, finally came in. No thanks to UPS. I finally got my copy of Madden 13 on Friday and have been playing a lot of it. Really enjoying this year's Madden. It's not perfect. Just like I think every EA sports game, it's like for all the good they have, there's always some niggles and some things that you look at and you're like, that's not the greatest. But this is a really good direction for Madden, so I like what they're doing. The biggest complaint about Madden this year was that they elected to take out franchise mode in its purest form. And they've rebranded it as Connected Careers. And you can create a franchise league, if you will, with other players. So, you know, you can have your friends join this league with you, and you play Connected Careers. And it's very kind of RPG-like. You can coach the team, or you can play as a player on the team. As you do things, you earn experience, and then you can spend those experience points on things like building player stats up, doing better job scouting other players coming into the league, signing contracts and getting better negotiations on your contract. So there's a lot of different ways you can utilize that. So, again, it has those RPG trappings in the Connected Career. But the downside to the Connected Career is, unlike previous Madden games where you could create a league of, say, 10 teams and you could do a fantasy draft, so the Oakland Raiders could have Eli Manning and they could have Arian Foster on their team, so to speak, because you drafted them from a fantasy draft. That's all gone now. And a lot of people were unhappy about that. They wanted to see that return. So I have a feeling next year's iteration, they'll, you know, go back and put it back in. And it'll be like, oh, look what we've done. We've added back in your most wanted feature when they just had taken it out to begin with. So
look at us being so generous.
Yeah, but this year's Madden is supposedly, you know, it's like a 100% physics-based engine. Overall, it performs really well.
How is it then, the physics engine? Because that's all I've been bragging about.
It's not perfect. It definitely has its flaws. There's times where you're tackling people or the play's over, and you'll see a player just suddenly kind of react a little weird. They might flop over and fall down after the play's over, so... Normally, you know, pre-rendered animations take over and players all just get up, but you'll still see players kind of react like they got hit or something. And then just on certain tackles, sometimes you'll see a player just react just in a way that your body can't react to, or it shouldn't at least. But I mean, overall, my experience with it has been a good one, and just the, what I see from the physics engine is a step in the right direction. The graphics look great. So, you know, they're on the right path. Again, this is, you know, typical EA Sports. They add some things in, they do some tweaks here and there. This is the first year where I felt like they had a really big step up from previous engines, so that's why I decided to buy it.
Is it every odd number, is it, or every 4 years?
No, I've actually stayed away from Madden for 4 years.
Right.
Just didn't feel like they had done enough and warranted enough to buy it. But this year, I decided to go in. And so far, I'm very happy with my decision. They have Ultimate Team, which is the card version. So you basically get your card packs and you unlock players. So you can have all kinds of crazy players on your team, and you compete that way. And basically, you know, each player card has X amount of games they can play until their contract expires.
Right.
So you either have to have an unlock card that gives them additional contract games, or you have to find a replacement player. They also have the Kinect support, which it works really well when, and I will preface this, when you're in a more quiet room. I found when you have a lot of background noise going on, the Kinect voice recognition in Madden has a hard time picking up what you're saying. So playing with the Kinect voice commands when my son is in the room and he's deciding to make a lot of noise makes it virtually impossible to use the voice command just consistently.
Isn't that a big thing as well? Because the big thing with Madden when it originally came out was, you know, you get a few of your mates around and you sit down on the couch and chew the fat, drink some beer, and play football.
I'm trying to remember for sure, but I believe couch co-op is taken away on this Madden.
Oh, right.
There's no longer couch co-op. It's all online only, which does kind of suck because that was actually a nice feature in past sports games. You know, your buddy came over, you're drinking some beers, let's play some football, let's play some hockey. But that is gone. So, anyway, it is what it is, right? Overall, I'd be giving it like an 8 if I was going to score it. I think that's about where it falls. It's a good Madden game. Definitely recommend playing the demo if you're on the fence. And, you know, for me, it was worth picking up. All right, that does it for what we've been playing. I think we can dive into the new releases right about now.
Very interesting, Greg. Very interesting. Thanks for talking to Madden. I would never fall asleep or anything while talking about that.
I might get that.
All right, so new releases this week on the Wii. Yeah, nada. Nothing coming out. The PS3, we do have a few things coming out. Battlefield 3 Armored Kill comes out this week.
Meh.
As part of the DLC. Zen Pinball 2 also getting a release date on the PS4. That's it for the PS3, the PS3 this week. So not a lot happening right now, but I think that's all going to be changing pretty quickly. This week on the Xbox 360... you've got Mark of the Ninja. This is a game I'm very much interested in.
What's this?
Mark of the Ninja. So this is a side-scrolling 2D ninja action. They call it ninja action game, but it almost plays like a strategy game. So it's pretty much stealth play. You got to check it out, Mike. I highly recommend download that.
Xbox Live Arcade game.
Xbox Live Arcade game. This is a game I'm pretty sure we all are going to wish they had in the summer of arcade.
Really?
Yep. Also coming out on the Xbox Live Arcade this week, Dogfight 1942. So there you have that. And Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 Collection 4 comes out this week.
Okay.
So interested, that is out this week, and that does it for new releases. Pretty light all the way around, but I think arcade is going to be where it's at, especially Mark of the Ninja. Mark of the Ninja. Indeed. All right, let's go to the news quiz.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Okay, so first up, Mr. Matthew, I think you, by all means, should be up because we haven't talked to you in quite a while.
I'm still here, I promise.
That's good. That's good. Awake, ready to go. Here we go. First question to you. According to leaked documents from video products distributors, the pricing and release date for the Wii U has been revealed just a week ahead of when Nintendo's expected announcement is to come. What is the leaked release date for the Wii U? Is it A, November 11th, B, November 18th, or C, November 25th?
Give me my options again.
The 11th, the 18th, or the 25th?
18th.
You were dancing all around it, Chris. Actually, November 11th. Yeah, according to Go Nintendo, the video products distributors, which is a supplier for Amazon, Newegg, and Blockbuster, lists that the console is going to be released on November 11th, and it also is got three different SKUs, starting at $249 and going all the way up to $299 and $349. So basically, $250, $300, and $350. Apparently, these are the latter two SKUs are bundle packs, but they don't specify what the bundling is. So I'm guessing Nintendo's going to tell us that next week when they make that announcement. But there we go.
This is all very interesting, but I'm protesting this question as invalid because nobody cares.
Fair enough. All right, Mike, I know you're going to care about this.
Go.
Over the weekend, Kojima Productions announced what new game?
Jesus
Christ.
Is
it A, Kojima. Metal Gear Solid 5? Is it B, Metal Gear Ground Zeroes? Or C, Metal Gear Zone 5?
Tell you what, a 10-minute trailer with credits. What is that man thinking? Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, plural.
Yes, yes. And according to Kojima, it is a prologue to Metal Gear Solid 5. So it is not, in fact, Metal Gear Solid 5, so you have more Metal Gear goodness to look forward to. It is running on the new Fox engine, and according to Kojima, this is supposed to come out to the Xbox 360 and the PS3, so it's not a next-gen game, according to them, at least at this date. Maybe that'll change. Who knows?
Looks pretty, but, you know, Metal Gear Solid game too, so... Not right.
Well, and it also should be noted that even though they said that the video that they showed and the demo they gave was running off of a PC, so they said that the console versions would basically be in step with the visuals that they showed. But again, they showed it on a PC, so who knows what kind of specs that was running. Rich,
yes,
let's talk Battlefield 3. We know Battlefield 3 Armored Kill DLC comes out this week to the PS3, but how long is it going to take all of the Battlefield 3 Armored Kill DLC to officially roll out to all platforms? Is it going to take 1 week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks?
A slight delay into it. 3 weeks.
That is an excellent guess, Rich. Yes, 3 weeks because, of course, PlayStation 3 owners get it this week, and I should say PlayStation 3 Elite members get it this week. Then on September 18th, it comes out to PS3 for everybody, and then September 25th, it comes out to the Xbox 360 and PC as well, regardless of whether you're premium or non-premium. So, there you have it. And I should note, it's PlayStation 3 premium members get it this week. Next week, September 11th, the 360 and PC premium subscribers get it. It's kind of a mess, but there you have it. Chris, Brothers in Arms, Furious 4. Remember that game you were totally interested in?
Yeah,
I forgot about it.
Yeah. Well, we got some news on that game over the weekend. And here's the question for you. What has become of the game? Is it A, officially killed, B, pushed to the next generation, or C, evolved into a different game?
This is a very strange question. So I'm going to go with C.
C, that's a good answer. Yes, according to Gearbox, that basically Furious 4 has become so different from Brothers in Arms franchise that it has become a new IP entirely. And apparently that's what Randy Pitchford meant back in July when he noted the game has evolved. So there you go. No longer a Brothers in Arms game. Who knows what it will be called, but we're not probably going to see it anytime soon. All right, Mike, what announcement did Valve make over the weekend after a job listing was spotted that more or less, well, it kind of let the cat out of the bag? Is it A, Half-Life 3 is coming, B, they're going to make hardware, or C, they have a new MMORPG?
That's a tough one. I don't know the answer for that. Hardware. I'll go with hardware.
That's a good guess, Mike, yeah. So Valve officially came out and said, hey, we have a job listing for an industrial engineer, and we're frustrated by the lack of innovation in the computer hardware space, so we're jumping in. Even basic input, the keyboard, the mouse, haven't really changed in a meaningful way over the years. There's a real void in the marketplace, and opportunities to create compelling user experiences are being overlooked. So Valve jumping into hardware, what exactly that means still is pretty vague, though. They could just be looking to create a new input device. They could be looking to create a new PC line, which I kind of think maybe they're going that route.
I think so, like a kind of Valve PC that would sort them out. Yeah.
And Alienware is the one that kind of jumped to mind for me. That's like high-end PC.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to jump into the console market. It wouldn't make sense for them, really. I can't see that happening.
I think that would be a very, very bold and potentially disastrous move for them.
Yeah, I don't think they want that space. You know what I mean? They just want the PC space. They're quite happy. But, you know, I suppose it's money, isn't it? You know, like, if they release the console version with the Steam on there, it would sell.
Bundled with the newly released DayZ. I'd buy that.
Huh? Well, that State of Decay is looking pretty good, so I might wait out for that one. But
well, there you go, Valve. You have a buyer in Rich. All right, Rich, you get last question. With the Resident Evil 6 demo coming on September 18th, what other news about Resident Evil 6 did Capcom, announce this past week? Is it A, Resident Evil 6 will have episodic DLC? B, Resident Evil 6 will be delayed by 1 week. Or C, Resident Evil 6's PS3 version was stolen in Poland.
I'd say it was stolen in Poland by a blind man who had no taste in games.
You very well may be right. It was, in fact, indeed stolen in Poland. I didn't really intentionally make that rhyme, I swear.
oh, Greg.
Yeah. But no, apparently a limited small quantity of copies of the German PlayStation 3 version of the game have been stolen and are out in the wild, apparently now up on the old torrent sites and being ripped off left and right.
By a blind man?
By a blind man, yes.
Yo, that blind guy.
All right, well, that does it for the news quiz. As always, the listeners are the winners or the losers, depending on how you want to look at it. And, it's time for the show break.
Woo!
Go, IP.
I think Skulldogger is already out of breath.
But don't dig straight down, you'll regret that. But now you feel brave, equipped with your spade to roam in these caves. Not looking for gold, this does purple, or so I've been told by some people. I'll find a few bricks where the two of these mix with a couple of clicks. I'll be swinging my picks.
up a chair, have a cold beer, you can live by the sea, so happy you'll be with your cobblestone tree. Oh, the neighbors aren't right, they're delicious, we eat bacon all night, it's nutritious, hear all of them squeal.
I'm sweaty, all my clothes are dirty and filthy and on fire. I'm absolutely sick of this place. I miss nature, all the pigs and the cows and all that sheep and stuff. I didn't think I'd miss it, but I do. Oh my God. How sad. I wish I could just return to the normal world again. Bye.
Okay, break time is over, and it's time for us to jump into the question of the week this week, which was kind of a simple, safe one for this time of the year, especially with Nintendo's Wii U looming. Basically, has Nintendo done enough to interest you in the Wii U? Now, I guess especially given what we now know, pricing, or at least what we think we know now, pricing kind of being quasi-confirmed, a release date being confirmed. Any of us thinking this might be a Christmas gift kind of thing happening? Rich?
What?
Think you and the kids might want to invest in a Wii U?
I think I'm probably the most likely to fit the demographic, but, there's no marketing or anything at the minute, so... and there's nothing from E3 that really, you know, got me going. If anything, the thing that will be making all that tug at me would be anything Mario related, so I would guess it all depends on that, really. But at the minute, it's a no, unfortunately.
All right. Mike, what about you?
No. I mean, I know I'll probably get one, but late in its life, you know, maybe in like 2-3 years to play some of the games. I'm still saying that about the Wii. I've got a Wii, but I've never got around to playing some of the like the flagship titles on there. I don't know. Because Pikmin is the only game that I'm really interested in. But how bothered I can be to play it, I don't know. So no, not really at the moment. No.
Okay. And over here stateside, Chris, what about you? Wii U, has it got any potential interest for you?
No.
Simple, to the point.
I bought a Wii and never played it, like literally. I think I never played it. So that's not true. I did actually play a few games. But not so much.
Yeah, I think we're all more or less in the same boat. I think the only thing that potentially could sway me is maybe some hands-on time if I see a kiosk, you know, at a store and I get some hands-on time with it. Because about the only thing that really could, I think, sway my vote to say yes, I might pick up a Wii U is the ability to kind of throw the game onto the controller, the tablet controller, and just play it while the TV then gets used by somebody else for doing something else. Because that is a particular kind of situation in my house where, you know, the main TV that I like to game on is also the main TV for the, you know, the family. So being able to kind of throw it onto the controller tablet while they're watching something on the TV, you know, there's some value there, but
there
I just don't know.
I don't know. It's very niche situation, don't you think? You know, it's like a very minor, I mean, it could happen quite often, but like really to make a whole console around it seems a bit strange.
No, true. Why don't we, Chris, if you would be so kind, maybe jump over to Gate, and I'll have you read their responses. And Mike, why don't you read Bongo the Sane's Twitter? His All Twitter right. to us.
Right now?
Sure, why not, right now?
I wasn't prepared for that, Greg.
See, I'm always keeping you guys on your toes. Or, others might say, we are an unprepared podcast.
No, I've got it. So Bongo the Sane tweeted us, like anybody else can, on OC_podcast on the Twitters. Bongo said, I need a new tray to eat my dinner from. The Wii U will have its uses.
Okay.
So he's saying no, pretty much.
Yeah.
Not looking good for the Wii U. Thank you, Bongo.
No. Yes, thank you, Bongo. And I do apologize to anybody else that didn't get this question in time. I completely forgot to post it up last week, so it went up very late in the week, yesterday. So, yeah. But we did get some Gate responses, and Mr. Matthew, I believe you are ready for that, so take it away.
Let's see what they have to say. Spalk says no, but I haven't been seeking out info myself. I didn't even bother with E3 or whatnot. It would only really get my attention if the graphics were better than the other two platforms. Also, there is a motion sensor control item that is much more precise and cheaper than Kinect. See here, and he provides a link, which the listeners can't click on. Very helpful. If Nintendo can do those two things in addition to whatever else is in their new selling point, then maybe. I just don't want to shell out cash for another console. Make me want it, but so far, meh. Maybe they'll ramp up as Christmas gets closer. Denver J much more emphatically says, no, not even close. But I wasn't interested in a Wii until after everyone wanted one and couldn't get one. So far, the Wii U leaves me wanting more. Not wanting the product more. I need a reason from them. Just because it can do something unique doesn't mean I'm buying it because of that. The Vita has controls on the back, but so freaking what? What does that screen on the controller do for me? Why do I care? They have done an okay job of telling me that it is coming, that it is better, that it is newer, but unless they tell me something that's going to make me forget about Borderlands 2, forget about chatting, playing with friends, etc., the only thing I'm going to forget about is the Wii U. So I think no.
Wow. Yeah, it's a...
Spitfire Ian says, nope. Steve-O-Matic says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I won't be buying into the hype of new, innovative Nintendo this time around. Especially since all they seem to be doing is hyping that it's new and innovative, even though it seems to have no idea how they're going to take advantage of their uniqueness. My Wii basically sat gathering dust for years. I won't be wasting my money a second time on Nintendo. Parsons says, I feel the same as Steve-O, but that is not to say I won't weaken if I'm in GameStop and they look cool. I have to play the Wii every now and again, but it isn't even cool anymore. My PS3, on the other hand, not under any circumstances would I buy a PS4. I haven't even turned my PS3 on in at least 2 or 3 years. So a little bit of, wow. bit of bonus there.
No, but, you know, I think it's unanimous across the board right now for at least our community, which, you know, this is a community that before, I mean, if you look back on those responses, it seems like there was some pretty good support of the Nintendo Wii from this community. I mean, you know, yeah. 3 out of the 4 of us have bought Wiis. I'm the only one that never bought a Wii. And now nobody's going to buy a Wii U. I think Nintendo is in for a very rude awakening with the Wii U.
Yep. And to finish up the gate responses, Denver J comes back and says, "That's the thing, it seems, comma, use. I do use my Wii, well, the kids do, and they are a shopping demo. So the next Wii does have some value to my family. It just better be fun and have games that my four-year-old can run. Otherwise, it could really become a dust trap." So yeah, maybe the people with kids. I didn't have any plans to buy a Wii until like about a couple years after it was out. And I was like, there's a few things on it that look kind of cool. Okay, let's see. And I never used it. So for me, it was supposed to be a way to get a way to try to get my wife into gaming, and that didn't really work. So.
Me. I'd say on the kid front as well, the biggest competition they're going to get is, from my own personal perspective, my kids have been shouting out more for an iPad or something rather than that, and I'm suspecting they're going to be around about the same sort of price point, especially if the Apple bring out this rumoured smaller iPad. You know what I mean? It's potentially going to it's heavily touted now. They reckon it's going to come post the iPhone 5
announcement. Well, the iPhone 5 announcement was like September 12th, right?
Exactly, yeah. And there's like paperwork that's been leaked from Apple penciling in, and also all of the big suppliers of the units for contracts and stuff. They've been told they can't have holidays between the 12th and the end of the month. They can't book holidays. So they reckon there's a double announcement coming.
Well, here's something to add on to that, Rich.
Yeah.
One of my friends at the gym happens to work in Apple marketing.
Yeah.
Ah.
And he – yeah. So the funny thing is, about a week and a half ago, he basically disappeared off the face of the earth. And I reached out to him and said, hey, what's going on? He's like, we are like – around the clock, working crazy on different marketing campaigns. Of course, he can't talk about what it is, but I would have to think this is not just iPhone 5, because that should be wrapping up.
Given
the fact that it's going to be released.
Yeah. So there's something else in the works, clearly, at Apple. It's big, because I haven't seen him disappear like this in over 2 years.
Hmm.
So
since the iPod was launched.
There you go.
That wasn't when numerous young ladies from the San Diego area went missing, was it?
I cannot say anything. I'm sworn to secrecy. Rich, I am going to have you read out Parsnip's email. It's not really related to the question of the week, but he did send us an email, so I wanted to get that in. So if you could be so kind, if you can find that for us.
Which one's that? Sorry.
Email.
I got the email.
That other way of communicating that nobody
Parsnip
uses anymore.
Parsnip Knows. Is it Mr. Parsnip Knows?
It is Mr. Parsnip Knows 3000, yes.
Okay. He sent in an email and said, "Hi guys, I wanted to let our communities know that I'll be resuming Friday night racing next week from September the 14th. And the new UK friendly time will be 8 PM British time." Ooh.
Nice.
And it's a game I've got. And it's going to be 12 PM Pacific Standard Time and 3 PM Eastern Snotty Time. And we'll be playing Forza 4. It'll be hosted by Parsnip. And we'll be getting back to the good old days of when everyone took it in turns to pick a car and we drove identical, untuned vehicles. If there's anyone who is not on my friends list but would like to join, feel free to send me a PM or an email to ParsnipKnows3000 on Xbox Live and at gate and ParsnipKnows3000 at gmail.com. Look forward to seeing you all there.
Now, let me just add in something before you read the second half of his other email.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of it is on Forza 4, we have the gate community. So I would highly suggest anybody looking to join up onto this, get into that community as well, because that would be another easy way for him to be able to just invite you into a race.
Yep.
All right, go ahead, Rich. He had one more email he sent us.
Yeah, he said, "Hey, guys, you seem to be confused about GMT and UK time zones. Right now, up until when the UK clocks change, the UK is on British Standard Time. Summertime, sorry. GMT never changes. If it did, seeing as all the world time zones are based on GMT plus or minus X hours, all the world's time would change. So while Pacific Standard Time is still 8 hours behind the UK, that is to say 8 hours behind UK summertime, it is in fact only 7 hours different from GMT. When the clocks go forward in the US later in the year, PST will once again be GMT minus 8 hours.
I'm still confused.
I think the synopsis of this is basically this whole time change in the U.S. screws everything up.
Yeah.
It's your fault, not ours. We invented time.
Yeah. We're really not the only people that change times, though.
This is also true. Because don't you guys change times there as well?
Yeah, we do.
But we've invented time, so we're allowed to.
So, yeah, we did it right.
Whatever, you biscuit eaters.
Britain!
All right. Thank you for that, Parsnip. Thank you for the correction. But I do need to, again, it is gross mountain time. So this Greenwich Mean Time thing has to go out the window. You guys are saying it all wrong.
Saying it all wrong.
Yeah. All right. Question for next week.
What's the question for next week, Greg?
The question for next week, Mike, is with first-person shooters and RPGs basically dominating this generation, And fighting games, that, you know, they kind of made a small comeback for a little bit. I got to thinking, you know, what genre of game do you want to see have a strong comeback in the next generation?
Third-person cover-based.
Okay.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I don't think there was enough sandbox games this generation.
Well, Mike, I'm going to ask you to hold off on that. Think about that.
I'm getting the people thinking, Greg. I'm getting the people thinking.
You don't... I think sandbox.
This is all
kind of comes, kind of goes.
Yeah,
driving games kind of definitely kind of took a hit
around. Yeah, so
they're always around, but they certainly weren't like super well polished or really well received. I mean, they didn't do well in the box office outside of the Forzas and Gran Turismo. I think every other driving game kind of took it on the nose. Burnout maybe is the other exception to it.
So, Greg, I mean, the right thing to do now is listen us. What do you think? What do you think?
Yeah, if you want to comment on that, you can look for this question
actually
in the forums.
In there when he does that.
Yeah, exactly, I am. You, right there, you. Yes, you.
You
behind
the
computer screen. Yeah, you with the headphones in. Yeah, jump into the Gate forums. It's going to be in the podcast feedback section. You also can send a Twitter to @OC_podcast.
Underscore.
Sorry, @OC_podcast. Shame on me.
Shame on you.
You could just email us, Mike.
No.
@OC_podcast.
No.
Sorry. You know what? This is when I need to be drinking, because apparently it would help calm me down because I get so excited about the question of the week.
Yeah.
If you want to email us, it's going to be OCpodcast@gmail.com.
Bless you, Greg.
I know. Thank you. All right. Enough of my rambling. Chris, help us out. We need to talk about community events.
We do. Unfortunately, it's going to be brief because really nothing's changed. Ghost Recon. Sunday.
Before you go into that.
What?
Before you go into that. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
You know what, dude?
Run with it, Chris.
Don't cue the freaking community events thing until you're ready for the community events thing. Otherwise, you just got to shut your cake hole. Right?
He will kill you, Greg.
I know. With his thumb.
I will stab you. Anyway. Yeah. Ghost Recon Sundays. Soon to be Friday Night Racing. The veteran gamers do something every Sunday. Halo 4.
Yeah, I don't know what it is this week. Sorry.
Yeah, you already told me that, Mike. See, that's why
I was telling the listeners that, though, Chris.
Okay, the listeners need to know that Mike is not prepared for the show.
That's true.
Halo 4 tournament coming up, and Madden 13 League forming up. Contact the real Defoe if you like to be part of the Madden 13 League. I think that's for Greg. Before we do birthdays, We have a giveaway that Greg was so eager to talk about that he interrupted me.
Yes. Yes.
Giveaway. You can talk about it. Giveaway.
If you want, Chris, go right ahead.
Okay.
I will give way to you. Okay. You have the floor.
We have some Steam codes, courtesy of Gary Lever. And if you would like to win a Steam code, how many have we got, Greg?
Well, we have one plus a DLC pack for it.
Oh, I see. So
give the whole kit and caboodle.
One code for Steam for Defense Grid plus all the goodies.
Yes.
So how do you?
That's a great game. That is a fun game.
Yes,
it is a legendary game. It is the game of this podcast.
I wouldn't go that far, but it's a good game.
Close.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody loves it.
Thanks, Rich. How we get away with how you want this game? If you want this game, tweet.
You're gonna tweet us your
hashtag,
favorite.
I got it, Greg. Shut your hole.
Okay. Hey, my bad.
All right. Okay.
I'm trying to throw you a life raft here.
Greg,
you know, I see you
Greg,
drowning.
Step back. He's getting annoyed now. Step
just,
back.
I know.
He's getting annoyed.
Just stop talking. Tweet your favorite PC game of all time. Hashtag OC giveaway. All one word. Right. Thanks again to Gary Lever for the codes. Now, before Greg starts talking again, happy birthday this week to our very own Skull Duggar. We already talked about that. Okay.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Kev FH67 and Sparky 0845, who's turning 19. Young.
Yeah.
Young man.
Well, Sparky kind of fits.
Yeah. And welcome to the new members, Nate Nation and Mexwat. That sounds really strange.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Last but not least, we didn't have a community spotlight this week from Parsnip, but he was so kind to send us a little gaming fact. So he threw this out there. Did you know Halo 2 for Windows Vista was delayed by a month to remove an image of someone mooning the camera?
Nice.
Really?
Yep. Mm. Yeah. There you go.
I'd like to know more on that story.
You probably never will.
Damn it.
All right. Let's wrap this up. So we talked about the Twitter, @OC_podcast. We talked about the email, OCpodcast@gmail.com. We didn't talk about voicemails, but you can actually call the show and leave us a voicemail. Who knows? Maybe someday we'll do a live show. Probably not. But 626-506-2763, you can call and leave us a voicemail. You don't even have to type. It's crazy. You probably only should do this if you're in the U.S., just saying, because U.K., it's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
However, if you're smart
and
crafty
loaded.
And have Skype and an account with Skype, you could actually make a call for free.
Yeah. Do it. Crazy
so
kid.
There's also this... Yeah, there's this thing called iTunes Reviews. We meant to talk about this at the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I got frazzled and excited, and I forgot. But, yeah, we need more iTunes Reviews. So, new members listening to the show, if you haven't given us an iTunes Review yet, shame on you. You're going to burn in hell unless you give us an iTunes Review. It's written in almost all of the religious doctrine that I can find.
You're lying, Greg.
Pretty much.
You're lying.
Yeah, but you should do it. It's
yeah,
the right thing.
Leave us an iTunes review.
Yeah.
Check it out.
All right. It's shout out time.
Yeah.
So, Mike, any shout outs?
Yeah, I got some shout outs. I don't know what they are, but I got some. What are they? Shout outs. I'll shout out the Void Gang guys. Remember I shouted them out last week?
Yeah.
They listened to the show.
Really?
Yeah, they actually listened and said to me today, I listened to the show. And I went, wow, you're the one. and they said, it's a funny show. Who's that other British guy? And I says, that's Skull Duggar. I says, he's funny. I says, who's that really dry American guy? I says, that's Chris. I says, he's funny. And I said, I says, yeah, you're right as well. That host is very good. I was like, yeah, you're good as well. It's a good show. They liked it. So I'll give them another shout out. I heard.
Yeah, shout out.
I heard the music that's going to be in their game today. Very cool. So, yeah, give them a shout. Void Games.
Okay.
Two games. Void Games. Two games on the iPhone coming soon. Two games.
Are they making Android? Can we get, get confirmation?
I asked Chris that, and he said if he could, he would. But they have to buy Android phones to test them on. So at the moment, they have to buy. They've all got iPhones except for a 3GS. So they have to buy a 3GS. And then
tell them just to go to Verizon. They sign up for a 2-year plan, and they can get one free.
Verizon
in England.
Virgin Mobile. I don't know. Pick your poison.
No.
Everybody's got a free phone plan.
Yeah. So they if they could, Greg, they would, and maybe they will one day.
Maybe one day. Okay, I can live with that.
What's the games you're bringing out, Mark? Do you know yet?
One.
Can you talk about it?
Yeah, yeah, they're announced. Okay. They have a website. If you type in Void Games, one of their games is called Galactic Rush. That's the big one that's coming soon. They've been working away at that one. And it's one of those progress kind of how far can you go rocket type games. And the other one is a logo quiz game.
Oh, I like them. I talked about them before, didn't I? I like logo.
A logo quiz game coming, and it's all video game logos.
Oh.
So they're slamming away at that one.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little go of it today. Knocked them all out of the park, but basically the game doesn't work at the moment. But I was guessing them, so they're going to make it harder than that.
Mike.
Yeah.
Real quick, what's their website again?
Voidgames.co.uk.
Oh, .co.uk.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Voidgames.co.uk. I'm pretty sure.
It's that .co.uk thing that I didn't have.
And it's their logo, just so you got it the right one, is like a purple joystick with a planet on the top.
Oh, I bet it's a purple joystick.
With a planet on top,
With the planet on top. And, right. Yeah. So, it's really funny because the guy who did the art is a guy that we told him about. And the guy who did the music is a guy that does our music as well. So, basically, I made the game. Apart from all the code and all the hard work, I made it. But, you know, I don't want to take any credit from them, even though they're coding on it every day. But basically, I made it. So, it's my game.
Okay.
I didn't do anything. I just look at it. But, yeah, they're nice guys. So, I'll let you know. I'll keep you updated on that.
Okay.
That was a
long
shout-out. Rich, go.
Yeah, I've just got a quick one. I'll shout out Blue Baru, who... Basically, whilst I was waking myself by playing Minecraft just now, it says, could you give a shout out to me, but also give a shout out to the Gate community, because he's put a thread up, starting a campaign just to get the old Minecraft world up for a guest appearance.
Oh, yeah.
Just check it out and see if we can get the old one back up to have a look at it. So... If anybody's got any opinions on that, send them in. That'd be good. Good topic for an email.
It doesn't work, does it, really?
Well, that's what he's saying. Why don't we get it on and see if it works now that it's post-patching and all that lot. See if it's any smoother.
Yeah. I think the Minecraft thing's kind of died down, do you think, Skull?
It'll pick back right up if you guys have a server.
Yeah. Well, we have got a server, but yeah, personally for me it has since I've come back off holiday, but that's because I'm train spotting now and I've become a nerdy DJ. I spend all my time listening to iPads and track listings and YouTube and stuff, so.
Yeah, I mean, I pop in there and again, and there's not many people in there when I go in.
It's three people.
Yeah, you know why, Mike?
Why?
Halo Wars making a comeback.
Yeah, Halo Wars is kind of. Come back out of nowhere.
In fact, any listener that has Halo Wars, send Mike or myself a message. Let us know, because we want to like round people up.
We'll have a crack at that.
Yeah.
Rob Finch has recently finished it, so I know he'd be up for it. I don't know how good he is online. He needs to shape up fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're so good.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're shit talks.
I'm no good, so... We'll have to split.
Yeah, Rich still has it.
We'll have to split the gang up and put me with either you or Mike.
Yeah, you can go with him, Greg.
Yeah, it's a handicap.
Take you both off.
Anything else, Rich?
No, I want to shout out all of the console makers to hurry up and bring me new consoles. Because I'm starting to get a bit bored.
Okay.
Maybe there's going to be some good games coming out at Christmas, but I'm a bit bored of games at the minute. I need some new stuff to get me going.
Okay.
And that's how we'll end the podcast on an upbeat note. And what do you got to say, Chris?
I thought we were ending the show. I was like, all right, sweet, we're out of here.
You got your shout-outs.
No, I figured maybe you were just skipping me because you're running shit around here. I don't have anything really.
He's very bitter tonight, yeah, Chris.
Yes. I don't have anything really excellent to say. I'm going to shout out college students everywhere because for some reason this semester I'm having the hardest time getting through to my students. Like, they just are – they're dead. I have several come into class and go to sleep. I'm like, you should just go somewhere else. So I'm going to shout out college students everywhere for being college students.
Chris, I think you need to come in with a bag of tennis balls. And anybody that falls asleep in your classroom, you just peg them with a tennis ball. Bye.
You know, so I try positive reinforcement, Greg, because I find the negative reinforcement often gets, that motivation is short-lived. So
I think if you did that every morning, I'm sure your students would come in bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
No, see, you would think that, right? My first semester, I had like a Nerf dart gun, and I would shoot people with the Nerf dart gun when they fell asleep. But then
not enough force and violent impact.
And so then, the first couple times I did it, then they would start waking their buddies up when I started aiming the gun, you know. But then it got to where if somebody fell asleep, they would be, like, waving me down, like, shoot this guy. So I kind of stopped doing that because it became a distraction. Instead, what I do is I ask questions in class, and if someone answers a question correctly, I give them one of those little bite-sized, like, Snickers bars, you know?
Okay.
Positive reinforcement, Greg.
How old are these students?
Huh?
How old are they?
Early 20s.
Jesus Christ.
I'd like to make a suggestion, Chris. Why don't you get one of them M23 grenade launcher things and just put some batom rounds in it or something? That'll wake them up.
Yeah. I don't really want to injure anyone, Rich.
He's taking that a step further, you see there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck with that, Chris.
Good luck, Chris.
Good luck.
Man, whatever. They'll wake up or they won't wake up. I get paid either way.
Yeah. Spoken like a true teacher in the U.S.
Your approach to teaching is very different to Duke's approach to teaching. I get paid either way.
All right. Well, hey, I have a special shout out. I want to shout out to the gate mods. I don't know exactly who all comprised of this, but basically, I received a package in the mail yesterday, and it was basically for my son Colin from the Gate Mods, and it basically had a note in there. So I said, "Hey boss, hope you're enjoying the loot. The guys at the Gaming Facility were thinking of you. Cheers." And this was, of course, sent to my son Colin, and so I know Yum Bacon and Parsnip were partially behind it, but I know there were a lot of other contributors in there as well, They had a pinwheel in there, which my son loves pinwheels. They had a kaleidoscope and then an electronic bubble-blowing gun.
Oh,
which
yes.
It's like a fish gun.
I want that.
It looks kind of like a Finding Nemo. It's awesome. It lights up, it plays music, and it blows out bubbles, and my son absolutely loved it.
Awesome.
So a huge thank you to you guys. That was awfully nice. Not necessary, unexpected, but thank you nonetheless.
Isn't that lovely?
It is, and a great way for us to end the show. See ya.
Bye-bye. I'm a fool.
I'm not really sure what's going on here.
Hey there, Chris.
All right, Mike, how are you?
I'm okay, mate. Thank you very much for asking. Happy birthday, Rich.
Happy birthday. Thank you very much.
Back in a second. Happy birthday, Rich and Mike.
Thank you.
Merry birthday to you, Mike. What have you been doing? Anything?
My birthday was yesterday, mate, so I had a meal yesterday and, you know, all that shit. What's that then, Rich?
Hey?
What is it?
What are we using?
Yeah, what is it?
It's called Virtual DJ.
And what's it on, like the iPhone or something?
No, it's on PC.
It's part of his birthday gift.
So what was your birthday gift?
I got a controller. DJ controller thing. Oh. I ain't got it rigged up at the minute, but I'm just playing with the software. You get with it. Then we've got a recorder.
Go right ahead. Huh? Community events.
Community events.
Well, let's just get rid of them. Let's just get rid of them.
Or just community?
Events.
How about just community events?
Sure.
Events.
Community events.
Starsky's bored. Let's do this.
Here we go.
All right, let's go.
I can't play the game because I'm here on the freaking show.
Oh, tell me about it. I'm muting myself, Nick.
I'm not.
Try
it. In some respects, it's kind of realistic because you see that in pileups often in American football. But it just comes across a little funny. And also in tackles sometimes, you'll see a person's arm or something kind of flail out in a way that it shouldn't. And, yeah, I hear you. No way. Rich. Rich.
I think he's just emphasizing how boring Madden 13 actually sounds.
I'm thinking he's actually
falling asleep. I think that's real.
Rich. Primrose.
Rich!
Fuck.
Rich?
Fuck.
Jesus Christ.
You fell asleep.
What are we on? Madden? Was it Madden?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
God, that was priceless.
Oh, I thought you were taking the piss.
What did I do?
You were like...
You started snoring.
Oh, you well, yeah.
All right, so I'll try and be faster with Madden. I'm going to pick back up from the physics engine.
Man, I was interested.
All right, so we are back from the break, and it is community mailbag time. So this week's question. God, that was a really awkward intro. Let's try that again.
All right.
Okay. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.